accomplish your goals. This method of thinking and carefully considering each action you must take dramatically improves your decision-making abilities. It forces you to use both long-term thinking and slow thinking together. The law of probabilities. Many people attribute their success or failure to luck of some kind, good or bad. In reality, when looking back at what actually happened, success turns out not to be a matter of luck at all. Instead, it's a matter of probabilities. The law of probability says that there is a probability that everything can happen, and by using certain mathematical models, you can calculate these probabilities with considerable accuracy. In its simplest application, the law says that if you do more of the things that successful people and organizations do, you increase the probabilities that you will do the right thing at the right time and be successful as well. By practicing slow thinking whenever it is required, you will find yourself doing more of the right things and fewer of the wrong things on your journey to success. Success is not an accident. Failure is not an accident either. The more carefully you think and plan before taking action, the faster you take control over your success in the future. Now, here are three action exercises for you. Number one, resolve today to put a space where you think slowly between the stimulus, the problem or idea, and your response. Number two, select one important area of your business or personal life and practice the GOSPA model to help you think clearly and at your very best in planning your future. Number three, plan today to take 30 to 60 minutes aside for solitude, where you sit in complete silence and listen to your intuition. Do this regularly. Chapter 3. Informed Thinking versus Uninformed Thinking. Beware of endeavoring to become a great man in a hurry. One such attempt in 10,000 may succeed. These are fearful odds. Benjamin Franklin. The two most popular words amongst experienced business people are due diligence. This requires taking time, however long, to get the critical information you need to make the right decision. The biggest mistakes we make are those where we commit time, money, and resources without having done sufficient homework. The best decisions we make are invariably based on having acquired complete knowledge of the issue before we act. We look before we leap. Reasons for business success. In business, according to Forbes magazine, the number one reason for failure is that there is no demand for the product or service. Whatever it is, the customers don't want it, or don't want it at the price the company has to charge to stay in business. In 2013, more than $8 billion were spent on market research in the United States alone. This money was aimed at finding out what customers really wanted before the product was produced and brought to market. But even with exhaustive research, 80% of new products eventually fail and have to be taken off the market. According to McKinsey & Company, a leading business consultancy, the major reason for business success is high sales. The major reason for business failure is low sales. All else is commentary. The primary reason for the poor decisions that lead to market failure is that the key people failed to ask the right questions or to get the necessary information before the product was produced and sold. Get the facts. Harold Janine, who formed a conglomerate of more than 150 companies at IT&T, said that the most important elements in business are facts. Get the real facts, not the obvious facts or assumed facts or hoped-for facts. Get the real facts. Facts don't lie. One of the most important words in business today is validation. Never assume. When you get a good idea, immediately take action to validate it, to gather proof that it is really as good as you think it is. Think on paper. Make a list of all the information you have about the product or service and all the information you will need to make the right decision. Talk to other people. Seek advice and input from others who have been in the same situation. Hire an expert. One person who specializes in a particular area can save you a fortune in lost time and money. Do a Google search. Put in the keywords associated with your question, problem, or idea, and see what pops up. Very often, this ground has been thoroughly plowed by someone else already. Solicit opinions. Ask everyone in your business who might have some knowledge about this subject to share his or her candid opinions and ideas. One thought or observation can change your perspective completely. Use the scientific method. Use the scientific method. Create a hypothesis, a yet-to-be-proven theory. Then seek for ways to invalidate this hypothesis to prove that your idea is wrong. This is what scientists do. This is exactly the opposite of what most people do. They come up with an idea, and then they seek for corroboration and proof that their idea is a good one. They practice confirmation bias. They only look for confirmation of the validity of the idea, and they simultaneously reject all inputs or information that is inconsistent with what they have already decided to believe. Create a negative or reverse hypothesis. This is the opposite of your initial theory. For example, you are Isaac Newton and the idea of gravity has just occurred to you. Your initial hypothesis would be that things fall down. You then attempt to prove the opposite. Things fall up. If you cannot prove the reverse or negative hypothesis of your idea, you can then conclude that your hypothesis is correct. For example, you come up with an idea for a product or service. You then attempt to prove that there is no demand for this product or service at this particular price. You approach a prospective customer and describe the product or service and then say, "Of course, this is not something that you want, need, or are willing to pay for, is it?" If your customer agrees that he does not want what you are proposing, you have a valuable piece of information to guide your decision-making. If, on the other hand, the customer counters your negative hypothesis by saying, no, this is actually something I would be very interested in buying and using if you were to bring it to market," then you have validated your initial theory about the potential demand for this new product or service. Be willing to fail. Be prepared to try and fail, to propose and be rejected over and over. Failure, trial and error are absolutely essential to your ultimate success. Be your own management consultant with any of your ideas and conclusions. Ask yourself the brutal questions that a consultant would ask to help guide you in decision-making. Is there a market demand for this new product or service? How big is the demand and at what price? What changes would you have to make to your initial idea to make this product or service attractive enough that people would want to buy it in sufficient quantities? Is the demand for this new product idea large enough to justify developing this product rather than something else? Is the market for this product concentrated enough so that you can reach potential customers with current marketing and sales channels? Will customers pay enough for this product or service to enable you to earn a greater profit than you would with some other product or service? Be tough on yourself in becoming informed. Don't let yourself off the hook or ask yourself softball questions. As Zig Ziglar said, if you are hard on yourself, life will be very easy on you. But if you insist on being easy on yourself, life will be very hard on you. Better to be right. As the psychologist Jerry Jampolsky once wrote, "Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?" It's amazing how many people come up with a new product or service idea and then fall in love with the idea long before they validate whether or not this is something that a sufficient number of customers are willing to buy and pay for. Keep gathering information until the proper course of action becomes clear, as it eventually will. Check and double-check your facts. Assume nothing on faith. Ask, how do we know that this is true? Finally, search for the hidden flaw, the one weak area in the decision that could prove fatal to the product or business if it occurred. J. Paul Getty, once the richest man in the world, was famous for his approach to making business decisions. He said, "We first determine that it is a good business opportunity. Then we ask, what is the worst possible thing that could happen to us in this business opportunity? We then go to work to make sure that the worst possible outcome does not occur." If you can gather all the information you need, and you can neutralize or remove the hidden flaw, you will make vastly better decisions than others. Nothing replaces experience. This is where experienced thinking versus inexperienced thinking can be so valuable. Nothing replaces experience in a fast-moving, rapidly changing business or industry. Certain invaluable lessons can only be learned by trial and error, by having countless experiences and making innumerable mistakes in a particular area. Experienced people develop what is called pattern recognition. When they're exposed to a new or existing business situation, they can identify patterns that they have seen before that led to either success or failure. they can immediately anticipate things that might happen that would render the business investment or decision invalid. They can quickly identify holes in the reasoning supporting the new idea. Because of the many patterns that they have seen in the past, they can quickly focus on the critical elements that can lead to success or failure. Become a master of the game. In a study of chess players from local chess champions up to international grandmasters, the researchers assumed that the difference in their levels of success was the players' ability to predict far more potential moves that their opponents could make in any given game. Then they found that chess players at all levels seldom think more than 3 or 4 moves ahead. Thinking any further ahead than that is not helpful to winning. Instead, they found that at each level of expertise, the players recognized more patterns on the board than a player at a previous level, which could only come from experience. The grandmaster could glance at a board and almost instantly see as many as 50,000 possible combinations of the pieces. He could accurately guess what move the opponent was likely to make, given the existing pattern of the pieces on the board. As a result, a chess champion could play and win against 10, 20, and even 30 opponents simultaneously. He could walk from board to board, glance quickly, recognize the pattern, make a decision, and move his piece, and then go on to the next board. Experience counts. It's the same in business and the professions. Because of extensive experience, which cannot be gained quickly or easily, the expert can quickly assess a complex situation and immediately suggest a solution that was simply not obvious to a person with less experience. The presidents of Fortune 500 companies earn more than $10 million per year on average. This is almost solely because of their ability to react and respond quickly to complex situations, examples of which they have seen and worked with in the past, and then make quick and accurate decisions that lead to financial results, sometimes involving millions or billions of dollars. Rule number one. Perhaps the most common advice given by wealthy people is, don't lose money. In business and in life, your goal must be not to lose money as well. In warfare, it is often the general who makes the fewest number of mistakes who wins the battle. In life, it is often the individual who makes the fewest number of financial mistakes who leads his or her company or division to high levels of profitability. The more information you gather before you make a decision, the more likely it is that you will make the right decision that leads to the success that you desire. You achieve this goal by taking the time to become fully informed before you make an irrevocable decision in the first place. The strategy of the rich. Bernard Baruch, one of the richest self-made men in America, in his book, My Own Story, wrote that the biggest financial mistakes he ever made were because he had failed to do sufficient due diligence or homework before investing his money. Warren Buffett, today the world's second richest self-made multi-billionaire, spends as much as 80% of each day reading and informing himself on details that can influence the investment decisions that he makes. He never stops learning and gathering information. Carlos Slim, who was the world's richest man a few years ago, has his home in Mexico City full of newspapers from all over Mexico and around the world. He reads continually in every source available to him to give him information he needs to make the right business decisions. Never stop gathering information. Your goal should be to become better informed than anyone else in those areas of business and life that are most important to you. You do this by continually gathering information and comparing different ideas with each other. You remain skeptical and proceed slowly toward your decisions. The more information you gather and the more experience you accumulate, the better the decisions you will make and the better the results you will achieve. Now here are 3 action exercises. Number 1, select one area in your business or personal life where you need to make a decision involving time, money, and long-term consequences. Resolve to find out every detail of the decision before you take action. Accept nothing on faith. Ask others. Seek out one or more people who may have your same situation or problem and request their advice. 3. Seek the fatal flaw in one area where you need to make a decision to go forward or not. Always assume that one exists. Chapter 4. Goal-oriented thinking versus reaction-oriented thinking. Vince Lombardi said, "Mental toughness is many things and rather difficult to explain. Its qualities are sacrifice and self-denial. Also, most importantly, it is combined with a perfectly disciplined will that refuses to give in. It's a state of mind. You could call it character in action. Several self-made millionaires, all of whom started with nothing and worked their way up, were having dinner at the home of one of their group. The conversation went back and forth about the various reasons for success and why it was that people around this table had achieved so much when the average person achieved so little. Finally, the most successful of the group spoke up and asked, "What is success?" When they turned to him for his answer, he said, "Success is goals, and all else is commentary." Turning points. Throughout your life, you will have a series of turning points. These are moments, insights, or experiences that can take a few moments or a few months. But after one of these turning points, your life is never the same again. Sometimes you recognize one of these turning points when it takes place. In most cases, you only recognize that there was a turning point in retrospect. As you look back on your life, you often remember small things that happened to you to which you paid little attention. But the consequences of that event changed you in some way and had an influence on the person you are today. One of the major turning points in my life and the lives of most successful people was my discovery of goals. I was 24 years old, broke, unskilled, and working as door-to-door salesman, selling very little, earning very little, and sleeping on the floor of a friend's one-room apartment. Then, I discovered goals. The discovery of goals. I found a used book in the bottom drawer of an old dresser in that one-room apartment. As I glanced through the book, I came across the line, "If you want to be successful, you have to have goals." A few pages later, it said to take a sheet of paper and write down the goals that you'd like to achieve sometime in the future. I had nothing to lose. I found a piece of paper, wrote down 10 goals that I wanted to accomplish. I promptly lost the list. But 30 days later, my life had changed completely. I had accomplished almost all of the goals on that list in ways that were completely unexpected. I discovered a sales technique that tripled my sales. As a result, my income had jumped. I moved to my own place. I was promoted to sales manager and given a team of people to train with my new technique. I was given an override on all their sales. And it all happened within 30 days of my writing down a list of things I wanted to achieve on that piece of paper. The key to riches. Since then, I have read, researched, studied, taught, and created programs on goal setting and goal attainment that have been used by millions of people all over the world. Everywhere I go, people come up to me and say almost exactly the same thing. "You changed my life. You made me rich." When I ask them what it was in my teaching specifically that it had such a profound impact on their lives, they always tell me it was learning about how to set and achieve goals. It was the turning point in their lives, as it had been in mine. It's not uncommon today for people to complain and even demonstrate in the streets about the 1% versus the 99% in our society in terms of income. But they've got it wrong. In reality, it should be the 3% versus the 97%. Only about 3% of people have clear, specific written goals and plans that they work on each day. The other 97% have hopes, dreams, wishes, and fantasies, but not goals. And the great tragedy is that they don't know the difference. Earn and acquire 10 times as much. In my experience over several decades, and as a result of reading every study into those people with and without goals, I have found that the top 3% earn and acquire over time on average 10 times as much as the bottom 97% put together. Why is this? There are many reasons. In the previous chapter, we said that a mantra of wealthy people is don't lose money. In terms of success, we could also say that the corollary is don't lose time. The fact is that when you have clear, specific goals and clear plans to achieve those goals, and you work on them every day, you save an enormous amount of time. You accomplish more in a few months or years than many people accomplish in a lifetime. By setting goals, you program your mental GPS system, which then functions like a guided missile to move you directly toward the target that you are aimed at, taking feedback from your target and making course corrections until you achieve your goal. As Thomas Carlyle wrote, "The person without goals makes no progress on even the smoothest road. The person with clear goals makes rapid progress on even the roughest road. You've heard the saying, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. Develop the Big Three. Perhaps the best way for you to develop the Big Three of superior thinking, clarity, focus, and concentration, is for you to develop clear goals for every part of your life. Fully 95% of success is developing clarity in the first place. You must become completely clear about who you are, your strengths, your weaknesses, your special talents and abilities, and what you want to do with your life. Then you must focus single-mindedly on one thing at a time without diversion or distraction. According to both Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, the ability to focus on one thing at a time is more responsible for success in our fast-moving, turbulent times than any other mental ability. Finally, once you've decided who you are and what you want, and have decided upon your point of focus, you must develop the discipline to concentrate single-mindedly on one thing at a time and stay with it until it is 100% complete. Goals enable you to develop the qualities of clarity, focus, and concentration much faster than with anything else you could do or decide for your life. Goals are the best antidote to fuzzy thinking, which is probably more responsible for frustration and failure than any other factor. Minimize distractions. Because of rapid change and constant electronic interruptions, email, text, telephone calls, and social media, more and more people are developing a form of attention deficit disorder that makes it almost impossible for them to think clearly or to stay on task. They check their email an average of 45 times per day, are slaves to incoming mail, phone calls, and messages, and are continually chasing the shiny objects of immediate stimulus. Those who do not have goals are doomed forever to work for those who do. In life, you can either work to achieve your own goals, or you can work to achieve the goals of someone else. Of course, the best of all is when you help your company to achieve its goals by achieving your own goals. The impact of change. Perhaps the most important factor affecting your life today is the speed of change. In all of human history, we have never experienced the rate of change that we are enduring today, except for next month and next year and for the rest of our lives. Three main factors are accelerating the rate of change and causing us to feel out of control. Our very best plans are often invalidated, sometimes overnight, by a change in one of these three critical areas. First, information explosion. The first factor driving change is information and knowledge explosion. Information and new ideas are expanding, growing, increasing faster and faster. One new piece of knowledge, one new idea or insight can upset or overturn an entire industry, causing failure and bankruptcy. More smart people are developing more good and disruptive ideas today in more different ways and on more different subjects than at any other time in history. The explosion of technology. The second factor driving change is technology, growing, expanding, and increasing at incredible speeds. Advances in technology can quickly transform entire industries. Think of companies like Nokia and BlackBerry that dominated their industries until the first iPhone was released in 2007. Within 5 years, both of these companies were virtually gone. BlackBerry went from controlling 49% of the business cell phone market to 0.4% in that time, and Nokia stopped selling cellular phones and sold out to Microsoft. One new technological breakthrough on the other side of the world can put you out of business as well if you do not respond to it quickly and appropriately. Aggressive competition. The third factor, perhaps more disruptive than anything else, is competition. Your competitors are fiercer, more aggressive, and more determined than ever before, except for next week and next year. The competition is focused on taking each new potential piece of information and breakthrough in technology to change and shape customer tastes, develop new products and services, and to render obsolete whatever you are currently offering. Your competition is constantly scouring the world of new information explosion and technology expansion, seeking opportunities to serve your customers with what they want better, faster, and cheaper than you are today. McDonald's, the world's leader in fast foods, has been caught flat-footed by companies like Chipotle Mexican Grill, which offers better-tasting foods from natural ingredients at similar prices. World leaders like Target, Sears, The Gap, and Abercrombie & Fitch have been blindsided by aggressive competitors offering more appropriate and better quality products at comparable prices that are more in keeping with what customers want today. The equation is SOC equals IE times PE times C. The speed of change is equal to information explosion times technology expansion times competition. And the only thing we know is that the rate of change is going to be faster and faster in the months and years ahead. Charles Darwin wrote, "Survival goes not to the strongest or smartest of the species, but to the one most adaptable to change." Goals are essential. This is why goals are so important. Goals enable you to control the direction of change, to assure that your life and work are self-determined rather than being dictated by outside events. One of the great secrets of success is for you not to worry about things that you cannot do anything about, factors that you cannot change. You cannot change or slow down the rate of change, but you can change, adjust, and adapt to change much better as long as you are clear about your ultimate goals. Today, you can be either a master of change or a victim of change. You can be a creator of circumstances or you can be a creature of circumstances, overwhelmed and left behind by the onrushing and impersonal forces of change that you cannot affect. Goals give power, purpose, and direction to your life. Goals bring out the very best that is in you, enabling you to realize your full potential. Goal setting brings out the best. Goal setting requires long-term thinking, slow thinking, and informed thinking. A key success principle is for you to think on paper. The very act of writing down what you want dramatically increases your probability of achieving it. Remember, you can't hit a target that you can't see. You can't hit a target unless you can clearly describe it on paper. The quality of your thinking is greatly enhanced by the quality of the questions that you ask yourself, especially in the areas of goal setting and goal achieving. Here are some questions that you should ask and answer on a regular basis so that you can maintain high levels of clarity, focus, and concentration. Determine what you really want. What do you really, really, really want to do with your life? It seems like when you ask this question, it is the third really that helps you to develop absolute clarity about where you want to be sometime in the future. When you ask really three times, you drill deeper into what you want more than anything else. What do you really value? What are your values? What are your basic organizing principles? What are the virtues and qualities that are most important to you and most important in the people whom you like and admire? Most problems in human life, most confusion, can be resolved by a return to values. Your values make up your core. They are the axle around which your life revolves. Your values determine your deepest emotions. They determine your beliefs, expectations, and your attitude. You don't see what you believe, you see what you have already decided to believe. For 1 week, ask yourself this question repeatedly. What is my most important value in life? Don't be satisfied with your first answer. Your first answer will always be something simple, obvious, and admirable to other people. But keep asking the question, what is my most important value in life? You may be surprised at the answer that you eventually come up with. Your three most important goals. What are your three most important goals in life right now? Write down your answer in 30 seconds or less. When you only have 30 seconds to write down your three most important goals in life, your answers will be as accurate as if you had 30 minutes or 3 hours. What are they? No fear of failure. Imagine that you have $20 million net in the bank, but you discover that you only have 10 years left to live. What would you choose to do with the next 10 years? This question liberates you temporarily from the limiting concern over money and resources. Most people hold back on doing what they really want to do because they feel that they cannot afford it or that they do not have enough time, talents, or resources to achieve it. But when you imagine that you have $20 million in the bank and you must choose to do something with the next 10 years, you will often see clearly what is most important to you, your heart's desire. What might it be for you? 6 months to live. Imagine that you visit your doctor for a complete examination. He then sits you down and tells you that he has good news for you and bad news. The good news is that you're going to enjoy superb physical health for the next 6 months. The bad news is that you're going to drop dead of an incurable illness on the 181st day. If you only had 6 months left to live, how would you spend your time? What would you do? Whom would you spend your time with? What would you want to complete? What kind of legacy would you want to leave? These questions help you clarify what it is you really value and what is really important to you. You've heard it said that no one on their deathbed ever said they wish they had spent more time in the office. Your feeling of importance. What sorts of activities give you your greatest feeling of importance, of personal value and self-esteem? Dale Carnegie once said, "Tell me what gives a man his greatest feeling of importance, and I will tell you his entire philosophy of life." What activities or accomplishments have been most responsible for your greatest happiness in life to date? What do you do especially well? What has been most responsible for your biggest successes? What would you like to do all day long, even if you didn't get paid for it? One great goal. What one great goal would you dare to set for yourself if you knew you could not fail? The fear of failure is the greatest single obstacle to success and the primary cause of failure in adult life. Imagine that you have no limitations. Imagine that you have all the time and money, all the contacts and relationships, all the friends, and all the talent and ability that you need to accomplish any goal that you could set for yourself. What would it be? Your ability to think clearly about who you are and what you really want is central to your living a high-performance life. Asking and answering these questions on a regular basis helps you to develop clarity, focus, and concentration. Goal-setting process. Napoleon Hill once wrote that the key to success is to use proven success formulas. Find out what other successful people do over and over, and then do the same things that they do. By the law of cause and effect, if you do what other successful people do, the causes, you will soon get the same results or effects that they do. There's a simple but powerful process of setting and achieving goals that you can use immediately to transform and even supercharge your life. Here it is. Number one, decide exactly what you want. Most people never do this. Most people want many different things, but no one thing in particular. A major reason for failure in adult life is that most people think they already have goals. But what they have are not goals. They are merely wishes, hopes, and fantasies. A real goal, on the other hand, is something clear and specific. Einstein said, "If you cannot explain your goal to a 6-year-old child, you probably aren't clear about it yourself." Number two, write it down. A goal that is not in writing is merely a wish or a hope. It is said that goals are dreams with deadlines. When you write down a goal, you take it out of the air and make it clear and tangible. You can see it, touch it, and read it. It now exists. Whereas before it was merely a figment of your imagination, like cigarette smoke in a large room, with no form or substance. Only 3% of adults have clear written goals, and everyone else works for them. They earn and accomplish 10 times as much as the average person over the course of their working lifetimes. People with written goals often accomplish more in 1 year than the average person accomplishes in 5 or 10 years. Here's the discovery. Each goal you write down and each time you write it, you're actually writing and programming it into your subconscious mind. Once you have written down a goal, your subconscious mind accepts this as a command and begins working to bring this goal to you and bring you to this goal 24 hours a day, waking and sleeping. Written goals are very powerful. Number three, set a deadline. A deadline acts as a forcing system for your subconscious mind. It gives your subconscious and superconscious powers a target to aim at. From the time you write down your goal and set a deadline, you'll be more motivated than ever to take the steps necessary to achieve it. A written goal with a deadline activates the law of attraction. You begin to attract into your life people, ideas, resources, and opportunities to help you move faster towards your goal. What happens if you don't achieve your goal by the deadline? Simple. set another deadline. Many things can happen over which you have no control that can set back the accomplishment of your goal. No problem. Just set another deadline. Remember, there are no unrealistic goals, merely unrealistic deadlines. Number 4, make a list. Write down everything you can think of that you could do to achieve your goal. Include the people, knowledge, and resources you will need. Keep adding to this list until it's complete. The very act of making a list of everything you can think of to achieve your goal increases your belief that the goal is attainable. It motivates and stimulates you. As Henry Ford said, any goal can be achieved if you break it down into enough small parts. Number 5, organize the list into a plan. The first way you organize the list is by sequence. Create a checklist, a list of all the steps, one after the other, that you will have to take to achieve your goal. Working from a written checklist will increase the speed at which you achieve your goal by perhaps 5 or 10 times. The second way you organize your list is by priority. What is more important and what is less important? 20% of the items on your list will account for 80% of your success. What are they? Number 6, take action immediately on your plan. Do something, do anything, take the first step. As Einstein said, nothing happens until something moves. Nothing happens until you move as well. Number 7, do something every day to move you toward the achievement of your most important goal, whatever it is at that time. Never miss a day, 7 days a week. When you do something every day, you trigger the momentum principle of success. It may be hard to take the first step to get going towards your goal, but after that it becomes easier and easier. You develop more and more momentum. You move faster towards your goal, and your goal moves faster toward you. And you can always see the first step. Goal setting exercise. Here is a simple exercise that has transformed the lives of hundreds of thousands of people around the world. It is so effective because it is so simple. Here it is. 1. Take out a clean sheet of paper and write the word goals plus today's date at the top of the page. Then, write down 10 goals that you would like to achieve within the next 12 months. These may be 1-week goals, 1-month goals, 6-month goals, or 12-month goals, but they're all goals that you would like to achieve over the next year. It seems that goals you want to achieve within 1 year are more motivational than goals that reach 5 or 10 years into the future, even though you will eventually set those goals as well. When you write down your goals, use the 3 P's. Make them present tense, personal, and positive. Your subconscious mind can only go to work on a goal that is properly phrased this way. Each goal starts with the word I followed by an action verb. For example, your goal could be I earn X number of dollars by December 31st of this particular year. Write your goal as though you have already achieved it, and you are explaining to someone else what you have already accomplished. Instead of saying, I am going to quit smoking, you would write, I am a non-smoker. Write down the first 10 goals you can think of in the present tense and make them personal and positive tense. Once you have your list of 10 goals, ask this question. Which one goal on this list, if I were to achieve it, would have the greatest positive impact on my life? There's always one goal that fits this description. Once you have selected this goal, this becomes your major definite purpose in life. Number 3, transfer this goal to the top of a clean sheet of paper, making it personal, positive, and in the present tense. For example, you would write, I earn this specific amount of money by this date. Number 4, you then make a list of everything you can think of to achieve this goal. Write down at least 20 ideas. Write down the obvious answers, and then the opposite to each of these answers. Keep writing until you have 20 different actions that you could take that would help you to achieve this goal. Number 5, organize this list into a plan, a checklist with the things that you could do from first to last. Number 6, take action immediately on one task, the first item on your list, and complete this one task as soon as possible. And number 7, from then on, do something every day on this list to move you towards your major goal. Never allow an exception. Do this 7 days a week. Think about your goal. Remember the great truth: you become what you think about most of the time. Each morning when you get up, think about your goal. All day long, think about your goal. In the evening, review your progress on your major goal. The more you think about your goal, the more ideas you will get to achieve it. Intense goal orientation stimulates your subconscious and superconscious minds toward goal attainment. The more you think, plan, and work on your major goal, the faster you move toward it and the faster it moves toward you. Begin today to become a goal-focused person. This will help to unlock your mental powers, stimulate your creativity, channel your energies, and motivate you forward more than any other single activity. Now, here are three action exercises for you. Number one, decide exactly what you want in one area of your life, the one goal that could have the most positive impact on your life. Number two, write it down, making it personal, positive, and in the present tense, as if it were already a reality. And number three, make a plan to achieve this one goal and then do something every day that moves you toward it. Chapter 5, Result-Oriented Thinking versus Activity-Oriented Thinking. Orson Swett Marden said, "It is those who have this imperative demand for the best in their natures and who will accept nothing short of it that hold the banners of progress that set the standards, the ideals for others." Another major turning point in my life took place in my 20s when I looked around and noticed that there were lots of people my same age who seemed to be doing better in life and work than I was. They wore nicer clothes, had better jobs, and drove newer cars. And some of them even had homes and families. Meanwhile, I drove an old car, wore old clothes, worked at a sales job, thought about how much everything cost, and worried about money all the time. This is not a great way to live. My turning point came when I started to ask, why is it that some people are more successful than others? This question changed my life. It set me off on a lifelong search to find the answers. In the Bible it says, "Seek and ye shall find, for all who seek findeth." That turned out to be true for me. As I began asking this question, the answers started to come to me like iron filings to a magnet. Make more money. In monetary terms, the answer was simple, obvious, and clear. Highly paid people are highly productive. They use their time better than average people. They get more and better results for which people are willing to pay them. They spend more and more time doing more and more things of greater and greater value. Here's a question. What is your most valuable financial asset? When I first heard this question, I was not clear about the answer. Then I learned that it is your earning ability. Your ability to earn money is your most valuable financial asset. You could lose your job, your home, your car, and all your savings and investments, and be left there standing on the sidewalk with only the clothes on your back. But as long as you still had your earning ability, you could earn it all back and more. This has happened so many times for so many people, it's almost an urban legend. Why do the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies earn an average of more than $10 million per year? It's because they have developed their earning ability to the point where they can get results that are sometimes hundreds of times greater than their salaries in terms of profitability for their companies. Companies are willing and eager to pay them almost any amount because of their proven ability to generate millions and even billions of dollars in profits. If they lost their jobs for any reason, they would immediately be hired by another large company and paid $10 million per year or more. Earning ability defined. Your earning ability is your ability to get results that people will pay you for. It is not your ability to go to work, put in your time, and play well with the other kids. It is your ability to get the job done quickly and dependably, on time and on budget. All success in the world of work boils down to one simple result: task completion. In the final analysis, your ability to complete your tasks consistently and dependably is what makes you a valuable and indispensable resource to your organization. Top people develop the ability to complete bigger and bigger tasks that have more and more value. They develop the reputation of being the go-to person. People say, if you want it done quickly and well, give it to him or her. Join the top 20%. The 80-20 rule seems to apply to the world of work. 20% of people are on the fast track, continually increasing their value, moving up, and earning more money. 80% of working people in all fields are time servers. They come to work at the last possible minute and leave at the first possible minute. While they are there, they use their time poorly in comparison with the people on the fast track. According to Robert Half International, fully 50% of working time is wasted. Most working time is wasted in idle chit-chat with coworkers. It's wasted in non-stop electronic distractions, answering email, going on and off social media, replying to texts, and answering telephone calls. The average person, including managers, checks their email 45 times a day. People waste their time by coming in late, leaving early, and taking extended coffee and lunch breaks. They read the newspaper, take care of personal business, and generally function at a low level of performance. The roots of poor performance. Why is this? It is largely the result of habits formed early in life. The first exposure to work is when the child goes to school for the first time. The child is surrounded by other children of his or her same age. What do you do with children of your same age? You play! From the age of 5 or 6, school becomes the primary play place for the child. Over the years, the child evolves through the school system, primarily focused on social interaction and playing with the other kids, before school, during school, after school, and on weekends. Then, the young adult finishes school and goes to work for the first time. The first thing he or she sees when he looks around at his new job is other people his same age. What do you do with other people your same age? You play! The effect of habit. As a result of habit, almost automatically work becomes an extension of school. It becomes the primary play place in adult life. It's estimated that the average person does not really start work until about 11 a.m., and then begins to slow down and wrap up the day at about 3:30 p.m. In between, he spends most of his time playing with his friends. But this is not for you. Wasting your time and playing with your friends all day long is for people who have little or no future. But you are different. You see success and accomplishment at work as your springboard to achieving your goals and accomplishing everything you want in life. Work all the time you work. Here, then, is the rule. Work all the time you work. When you go to work, work. Do not play with your friends, check your email every 5 minutes, read the newspaper, or take care of personal business. Work all the time you work. If you're really serious about getting results, start a little earlier. Work a little harder during the day. Stay a little later. Pick up the pace. Move faster. Keep focused on your most important tasks. Don't waste time. If someone wants to talk with you, you say, "I'd love to talk to you, but right now I have to get back to work." This shuts down most people immediately. How can they stop you from getting back to work? Tell them that you would be delighted to talk to them after work or on the weekend. Meanwhile, your personal mantra is back to work, back to work, back to work. Your goal, only known to you, is to develop the reputation for being the hardest working person in your company. Work all the time you work. When are you working? Many people think that because they are at work, they are actually working, but you're only working when you are starting and completing important tasks. You are only working when you're getting results that your company wants and needs to generate revenues and create value. Top people spend more and more time doing things of higher value. Average people spend much or most of their time on activities of lower value or no value at all. All books and courses on time management come down to helping you to ask and answer the question, what is the most valuable use of my time right now? Your ability to ask and answer this question accurately and then to do exactly what is the most valuable use of your time determines your success in your career as much or more than any other factor. Get started and keep going. You can use a series of strategies, tactics, methods, and techniques to get started and then to keep going until you complete the most important task before you. To manage your time effectively and get maximum results, you begin with clear goals to which you are committed. Some of the most important questions that you can ask and answer on a regular basis are the following. 1. What am I trying to do? 2. How am I trying to do it? 3. How is this working for me? Am I getting the kind of results I want? 4. What are my assumptions? 5. What if my assumptions in this area are wrong? 6. Could there be a better way to achieve the results that I want? And 7. If I was starting this work over again, what would I do differently? Once you are clear about your most important goal or objective, your top priority, you can use a series of proven methods and techniques each day to get your most important task completed on time. Time management tools. The most powerful time management tool is a list. You start with your major goal or goals, and then make checklists of everything you will need to do to achieve that goal. In your work, you begin with a list of everything you want to accomplish that day. Ideally, you should create your work list the night before, at the end of your work day. When you plan your day the day before, you are in reality setting a series of mini-goals for the following day. Writing it out in the evening allows your superconscious mind to work on your list of mini-goals while you sleep. You will often awake with ideas and insights that you can use to get more of your most important work done faster.